The Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
All right, coming up on our show tonight, we have Father James McWhorter is going to join us. He is nominating Mel Gibson for Pope. And when you hear his reason, yeah, go ahead and laugh, but when you hear his reasons, you may say, by God, that's a great idea. The Opus Dei has apparently come out in favor of Mel Gibson for Pope because he has done more to bring back people back to the church following the child molestation allegations than any cleric has been able to do. Also, R.C. Collins, who believes that basketball needs to be replacing, or hockey should be replacing basketball during the off football months, because, frankly, hockey is masculine, basketball is just flat silly. And Bob Green, his son flipped off his teacher in high school, but then Bob said he ought to be able to. He got a 1460 on his SATs, and his mother is a whore and left them. So that's what we got coming up for you tonight. Reason enough to tune out? You bet. Anyway, I'm kidding. I hope you stay with us. Today in Spain, a train blew up. 100-some-odd people died. The Spanish people now getting a taste of what it means to step up to the plate and stand up like men and women. I guess it means you become a target. Of course, you could go and hide, and everybody's going to think you're just friends of the underclass in the world. You could be just a friend of one of the third world people, baby. Just don't say anything. Walk around Baghdad with a notebook and a pen like Sean Penn. Walk around Baghdad with a notebook and a pen like Sean Notebook. You can do that, see? Oh, by the way, I don't know if you heard it, but Al-Qaeda says their attack on America, 90% sure it's going to happen. But you know what? Why live in a climate of fear? Why did George Bush do that to us? Al-Qaeda has said in a letter purporting to come from Osama bin Laden, a big attack on the United States is in its final stages. Now, you know how Al-Qaeda is. They're full of crap. They always say they're going to do something, and they never do it. But the fact of the matter remains, they're out there. Now, there's only one of two explanations. Al-Qaeda is a front organization funded by George Bush and probably populated with a lot of, what, Texas oilmen who send out nasty crank letters. Or it's a real organization that wants to really scare the hell out of Americans because they hate our living guts. What else is it? It's Opus Dei. It's just the alternative ego, alternative identity of Opus Dei. But the fact is, I would opt for the reason number two. I think they're for real. Now, you may not think so. You may think George Bush is writing all those letters, just like he's got Osama in a closet someplace. But then Osama probably doesn't exist if George is writing all the letters. Unless Osama's Dick Cheney. But, you know, he's creating this climate of fear. Ain't he? So anyway, Al-Qaeda hates us. They want to kill us, but it's all George's fault because if we weren't so rich and wealthy and if we had better policies in terms of the environment and if we got to health care quicker, then they wouldn't do any of this stuff. Or wait a minute, maybe they should be more multinational instead of unilateral and then they would all love us, right? Sure they would. So you guys just remember that when you hear in the news tomorrow that Al-Qaeda says they're 90% ready to blow you and your kids off the face of the map, just remember that it's really George Bush who created the climate of fear in this country, and he's to blame, and all those ragheads, well, they're just a bunch of ragheads. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, in Spain, the people over there got a taste of what they say is a terrorist attack perpetrated by Basque separatists. They also say that there is the handiwork of Al-Qaeda involved in it because they found a Quran and some Arabic tapes and so on and so forth. It's the deadliest blast in the deadliest terrorist attack in 15 years in Europe. And it is not, I don't think it's not a coincidence that it is the Spanish that got targeted. They were allied with us during the Iraq War. You see, folks, when you step out front, when you take a stand on something, I mean, when you really take a stand on something, people want to blow you up. They just want to get rid of you. So the Spanish people, the thanks they get for standing with us is they're now a target. That's what happens. Now, if you're a gutless wonder like 90% of the French people, well, you can just sit there, suck on a baguette, have another cigarette, go down in the basement, have sex with your girlfriend and your secretary, whatever you're doing, then go back upstairs to the bean factory or whatever the hell you do and roll another joint. You go upstairs to the baguette factory. Go on down to the Le Café. Go and write another article for Le Newspaper. go and spray paint on another Lay synagogue. See, that's why Europe doesn't want to get involved, ladies and gentlemen, because they've had a belly full of it, right? They don't want to fight anymore. Of course, when did they ever fight, other than the Germans and the British? They've never been much for fighting, not for the last several hundred years. The last Frenchman that ever had a belly for it, his name was Napoleon. They can't get enough of that guy. All 5'3" of him. He's the last great Frenchman. And he was an emperor, wasn't he? He doesn't even represent anything democratic about that country. This is what we're talking about. Now you have the Spanish being targeted, Al-Qaeda taking responsibility, by the way, where they can call it Basque separatists. Al-Qaeda wants a piece of that action, and they say they're getting ready to kill you and your kids again. Just remember, when it happens, it's all George Bush's fault. That way, we won't have the same discussion second time around, right? So that when your kids die, and you do too, well, your relatives can say, well, Bush should have known because, you know, like it happened in 2001. We'll come up with some baloney. So that's what's going on today. Just thought you ought to know, but then I don't want to create a climate of fear. I want to get on the real issue, which is health care and the environment and clean water. 1-800-449-8686. So in any event, coming up tonight, Father James McQuarters on Mel Gibson being the Pope, Bob Green and his 1460 SAT punk son, and R.C. Collins on how basketball is for women, and women only. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Now I got a little bit of entertainment news for you. Remember, tonight we have Father James McQuarters. He's nominating Mel Gibson for Pope because Mel Gibson has kicked some major rear end with this, The Passions of the Christ. He has brought the flock back to the church in record numbers. They're going through the turnstiles. They can't give away the free T-shirts fast enough. And also, of course, R.C. Collins, who says that basketball is strictly for sissies. Give me hockey. Give me broken necks, man. One shot and he busted that guy's neck up in Vancouver. That's a man's sport. You never hear about any guy taking one shot in football, basketball or baseball, and busting a guy's neck. He broke the guy's neck. What's the guy's name? Slabinowitz or something?
Todd Bertuzzi.
Todd Bertuzzi. It's all they can talk about in Vancouver. Isn't that right? All of my good, fine fellow friends up there in Vancouver, where we're broadcasting live tonight, as usual. All you guys can yammer about is that dumbbell that busted that cat's neck. They got to stick him in a cage for the rest of his life. Because the fact of the matter is, he's coached to do that. They are trained to do that. They're expected to do that. And when that guy got up in front of the media in Vancouver, was it today, Janice?
Last night.
And blubbered like a girl, blubbered like a Girl Scout. I didn't mean to do it. Reminds me of Marlon Brando in The Godfather. What do I do? You can act like a man. What do you mean you didn't mean to do it? You not only meant to do it, you're trained to do it, you're coached to do it, you're expected to do it. If you didn't do it, you'd be fined. You're crying like a woman. Excuse me, ladies, I meant a grand woman. A grandmama. What's that guy's name? Bertuzzi? Blubbering like a girl. Come on, I'd love to hear from any of my fine hockey fans. What's that all about? Guy took a direct, premeditated shot, broke the man's neck, broke his neck. You know you can be paralyzed for life if you get your neck broken. You're aware of that, aren't you? And then he comes up in front of the world and cries like a baby. I bet you his mother was vomiting when she saw that. I bet you she's rolling in her grave. I would. You know, either you can stand up like a man and admit, you know, I did what I did, and I'm sorry about the consequences, but frankly, I can't tell you that I didn't understand the consequences going in. But to cry until the snot's pouring out of your nose, I bet you every Vancouver Canuck fan is burying their face today, man. They don't want to be seen. They got newspapers, magazines, hats. They're covering their faces everywhere in town. You like the Canucks? No, I don't. I'm strictly Grizzlies for me, man. Oh, you mean they're out of town? Oh, that's right. You mean they moved to Memphis? Aren't you a Canucks fan? No, it's BC Lions. Yeah, baby. I don't know what this guy, this Bertuzzi punk, thought he was doing, standing there and blubbering like you know, a little baby. I mean, but who's the coach of that team, Janice?
Mark Crawford. Who used to coach
the Why don't they put Mark Crawford in front of a microphone and ask him why he trains his players to do those things? Uh-huh. Oh, I see. He didn't know it was going to happen, and what is the word? He deplores such activity. I'll bet he does. There isn't anybody in North America today who's a hockey fan that believes anything coming out of the mouths of anybody in the official corporate offices of the National Hockey League, whether it's the Canucks or the league office, wherever the hell that is, believe in anything about how they deplore that kind of activity. That is exactly what is endorsed, supported, and loved by the National Hockey League, okay? The sport itself is obviously dull. It couldn't possibly be exciting. Why do they need fighting? Why do they have to have the risk of a man's broken neck to get fans in the seats? I'll tell you why. Because hockey is a dull, boring sport, like its counterpart, basketball. Up and down and back and forth and up and down and back and forth. What are you talking about? Let's go in and call a play. You know, I think the funniest thing in basketball is they say they're calling a play. What do you mean you're calling a play? What are you guys talking about? You're just throwing a ball to the open guy. That's what you're doing. It's called throw the ball to the open guy. Triangle offense. Is that what it's called, Jackson? What, so one guy stands here, another guy stands there, and it looks like a triangle? What are you... Where do you guys get off with all this stuff? It's called get the ball in the hoop, and whoever's open, I'll throw it to you, and then you try and then I'll go under it, and I'll try and get a rebound. My wife coaches basketball for the kids, because my wife played basketball in college. And I ask her about this. She says, look, it's about rebounding, it's about shooting, and it's about passing. That's basketball. Rebounds, making shots, and getting the ball out to an open person if you can't make the shot. It's like Vince Lombardi used to say, football is blocking and tackling. Well, yeah, but it's a lot more. They do have plays in football. Actual design plays. In basketball, you see when they go to the sidelines during a game, he's going, all right, now you go over here, see? And what they're saying is, all right, Benny, the camera's going to be here. Can you do something with the chalkboard? I'm sorry? Do something with that. What is that for? I just doodle on it. Well, do some X's. I don't know what you... Do some X's! Come on, we're coming up. Okay, now go. All right, so you go there, and I'm going to hear. Here's my phone number. I don't know. Is that going to... Yeah, it's perfect. Cut. And then they just roll that over and over again. Let's go down to Bob Bertuzzi there on the sidelines.
Jim, I just talked to Coach Avildale. He wants to try to get the ball, kick it out to the open man. If they can, they got 3 seconds on the play clock, and maybe somebody, I don't know who, and...
All right, that's fine. Let's get up to the booth. You're boring me.
All right, thanks. Back to you.
Great. Holy God, who is he? All right, let's go to Dick Vitale.
Ooh, baby, I got...
Where's my gun? Some cat just takes out Vitale with a deer rifle.
Baby, let me tell you, slam a jam.
That's got it done. So anyway, all those guys drawing up that stuff, you know, you see Jackson, now you, and you, and you, what are you ain't talking about nothing? They're talking about, what they're going to try to do is set up Kobe to get the open shot. Oh, all right. So what does that mean, man? You know they're going to have a guy on Kobe. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave him open so I can go and guard this other dude who's 5'10 and hasn't hit a shot in 6 years. Then you got hockey. They think they got plays in hockey, too. It's called hit the flat thing into that net where that other goon is. And the guy goes in front of the net. Why are you there? Is that a cold play? No, I just thought I'd be here because I figured this is where the puck's going to be. Oh, okay. I thought it was something you designed. What? Design what? Do I look like a fag? I don't do any design work. So, you know, this is the game. And what do you do to keep the interest in a game like that? It's so sufferingly, inexorably dull. Just as boring as looking at a mailbox and waiting for the mailman to deliver a bill from, like, the water company. That's how dull that is. That you got to liven it up. So what do? You introduce fist fights. Bust a guy's face here, rake a guy's face across the boards there, break his neck over here, drag a skate across his throat over there. How you guys won't be happy until they drag a skate across a guy's freaking throat and it's like something right out of Dracula? I bet you guys won't be happy until you see some guy drop to his knees and actually bite into a guy's neck. That'd be great. But this guy today with the Canucks, I thought I was going to puke. I honestly thought I was going to puke lunches that I forgot I have ever eaten.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it.
Why don't you get out of the... Why don't you get back into whatever it was you were doing before you were playing hockey? What was that, man? Delivering flowers, FTD, and a bicycle with a little ski cap pulled down? With a shaved head, maybe just a little bit of a scar here, so people go, oh, yeah, they had to get in and take out a piece of... Yeah. And then they understand? You're really sorry about it, huh? You know, I tell you, this. I mean this sincerely, honestly. If that was my son... And he had been attacked like that, and the guy got a suspension from playing, and that was it, I'd look the guy up, face-to-face, I'd look him up, man-to-man. Now, I might get my ass kicked, but I'd be there, and I'd say, you know what, I think you're the biggest freaking pansy I've ever seen in my life, blubbering on TV, so I just wanted to see you up close to see if people like you actually exist. Yeah, you look like one big puss to me. And the guy'd probably take me out with a punch, but, you know, at least I looked the cat up. These guys that play hockey, man, I mean, just like the basketball players and everybody else, they're the most entitled bunch, and when they realize that their rear end's on the line, then all of a sudden they start crying like little girls. Nothing's going to happen to you, pal. You're going to be fine. The team's going to rally around. The coach is going to rally around. The league is going to rally around. The fans, I'm sure, up in Vancouver are just so deeply touched and moved by your comments today. Reed conned. Reed absolutely fooled into believing they were sincere, and I'm sure everything's going to be fine. And why I'm spending 15 minutes talking about hockey, why? I've got a Canadian producer. All right. And she thinks it's real big news and won't leave me alone about it. Hey, did you hear about Todd Bertuzzi today? Oh, will you knock it off already, Janice Ouellette? It's the big news in Vancouver. It's really, right, okay. Great. Is the corn in yet, too? Huh? Are they polishing up the buttons on the shoes? What's soy bellies going for up there? Is it pork bellies? Did I say soy? It's soy futures and pork bellies. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. Our email address, by the way, is phs@philhenryshow.com. And let me just say that we have a website. It's called www.philhenryshow.com. And I want to talk to you about this because I told you that there's been some, yeah, you're right, they've been beeping material on the website. The fact of the matter remains, though, that we do, in my opinion, the state-of-the-art radio comedy, and we archive it, and you can get a taste of it by going to our website, and for only $6.95 a month, Jim, you got yourself a backstage pass that will give you access to literally 7, 8, 9 years of material. When I talk about show bits on our website, I'm not talking about 2 bits a week. Because that's the only thing we can muster up that's funny, right? We have a deeper archive of actual radio material than any other radio show on the planet Earth. Because we have that much material. So for $6.95 a month, you have access to that. You get 30 days of archived shows, and you have the ability to live stream our shows anytime you want. In addition, we have a souvenir shop. You can go in and pick up some Ted's of Beverly Hills stuff. We're featuring this week for, actually, in the near future, the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass set for St. Patrick's Day. So that's really a beautiful thing. And while you're in our souvenir shop, you can pick up the Death of Talk Radio. It's the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. excuse me, if you can't get online, well, then all that rap I just did about my website was useless. But also, you can buy our CD by going to this phone number, 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. Be back on the Phil Henry Show. Father James McQuarters coming up.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, this is kind of a bad day for people that said that Iraq had nothing to do with terrorism in America, and that really it's George Bush who created the climate of fear. Number one, we've got a threat from Al-Qaeda. Number two, we've had Spanish citizens murdered by most probably an offshoot of Al-Qaeda or an aligned sect of Al-Qaeda, and some Basque cats thrown into the mix who are probably getting money from Al-Qaeda. And then we've got this. This is bad news for you guys to think it's all just a bunch of bad dreams George Bush concocted. They arrested a former journalist and a one-time press secretary for some congresspeople. She was arrested. Her name is Susan Lindauer. She's a real fat porky pig type. I saw her waddling to the car just moments ago in her handcuffs. And they've arrested her for espionage. Basically, she is alleged to be a traitor. Now, this is what she said to the press as she was being led to the car. "I'm an anti-war activist and I'm innocent. I did more to stop terrorism in this country than anybody else. I have done good things for this country. I'm proud and I'll stand by my achievements." Now, the phrase that I'm focusing on is "I've done more to stop terrorism than anyone else." She was working, she admits, she was working with the Iraqi intelligence service. Or at least she admits to having had contact with Iraqis in their various missions, shall we say. She talked with Iraqi intelligence service agents. She engaged in financial transactions involving the government of Iraq under dictator Saddam Hussein. All of this illegal. And she accepted $10,000 for her work. All of this is alleged. Now, the interesting thing she was said is, "I've done more to stop terrorism." If she was working with the Iraqis, well, what has that got to do with terrorism? I thought they didn't have anything to do with it. I thought the Iraqis were as pure as the driven snow. I thought they were just the milk of human kindness, man. They have nothing to do with terrorism. Well, guess again, booby. Because Porky here just said she's worked to stop terrorism. She's working with the Iraqis. Something's wrong here, man. Things are starting to kind of look a little bad. You know, you can look the truth in the face and say that it ain't there only so long, and then finally, man, it's just there and it smells. And really, it's the opposite. Everybody thinks that we are supporting this war in Iraq and this war on terror because of some misguided intelligence or misguided patriotism. The fact is, people that have opposed it are like people standing in a garbage pit and saying it all smells like daisies. After a while, man, it stinks. Meaning what you think, what you believe, and what you think is the truth about what's going on in this world. The fact is, baby, sometimes life is exactly the way Grandma told you about it. You know, there's just some bad freaking people out there. I wish I had some closing music before I went to my next call, but I don't. I wish I had just kind of a symphony. We'll be back on PBS in a moment. Back now with Morning Edition and Phil Hendry. I don't have Bob Edwards' lisp. I'm kidding around, Bob. I love you. I don't know you, but I love you. All right, let's go over to Mike. Mike?
Hey.
How are you?
Not bad. Yourself?
Fine, thanks.
I just wanted to comment on your comments on the Todd Bertuzzi and the whole situation in Vancouver.
Right.
First of all, I agree that hockey has become somewhat of a boring sport lately, but I think, and most hockey fans would agree with me, that it's because of the invention of the neutral zone trap. It's resorted to players.
Oh, well, of course. And they just started fighting 5 minutes ago. Is that what you're telling me?
No, well, fighting is like a part of the game, right? But if
how come it's against the rules then? How come it's against the rules if it's a part of the game?
Well, people have accepted it to be a part of the game. Hockey fans.
Well, the point that I'm making, Mike, is this. And tell me if you disagree with this. I think Bertuzzi was a disgrace, blubbering like some child about the hit that he put on this guy Moore. Stand there like a man, admit you did it, take the consequences, but crying? Jesus, if I was the general manager of that team, I'd be puking until there was no tomorrow after I saw that.
True.
What's this guy about? What's his problem? Is he actually think that somebody's going to forgive him?
Well, and no one's obviously going to forgive him, but, I mean, his problem is that he has always been like a hot-tempered guy, and he'd always be angry at everything.
You know, he's going to meet somebody.
And bitching at the
what's going to happen to him one of these days, he's going to meet a guy who's got an equally hot temper, and after the game, the guy's going to meet him with a baseball bat in the parking lot, and there won't be any more of his head. See, if he wants to get into it, my point is this, Mike, and tell me if you disagree. If you want to get into it like that, let's just take it out into the parking lot, bats, knives, whatever you want to do, and let's get it on. You want to hit a man on the ice and say it's part of a sport, break his neck, put him out for the season, and then blubber and cry and snivel like a grandmother on TV the next day, man, he ought to bury his freaking head in shame.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he can't be, you know, he's not justified in doing that. But the thing is, he's so upset about it now. You know, he should have fought.
Oh, I'll bet he is, yeah. Yeah, I'll bet he's wetting his pants about it now.
But he realizes his career is over, and for at least a season.
That's why he's crying.
Career, and that's why he's crying.
Yeah,
and,
he's crying.
Know, I mean,
right. Well, that's been my point. So you don't disagree with me.
I don't disagree that that shouldn't have happened. But what I disagree with is that your comments about, like, Vancouver and hockey and all the fans, like,
what did I say about the fans? I said the fans think it sucks too.
The fans think it sucks.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
what's the matter? You don't sound like an American saying this? You'd rather it came from a Canadian's mouth?
I'm Canadian. I moved down here from Vancouver.
Exactly. I think you resent the fact I'm a Yank and I'm saying this. It's about your sport.
I don't resent that. I just resent that, you know, maybe you could look into it a little bit more before you, you know.
Well, what's to look into, man? What's to look into? Freaking up and down the ice with a little flat disc. You got to get it in the net. Whatever. Then the guy comes out, busts a guy in the head, breaks his neck, and I'm supposed to sit there and think that's part of the game. The whole freaking thing stinks, as far as I'm concerned. And here's what stinks the most. The NHL coming out and saying they're appalled at all of this activity. The National Hockey League not only wants it to happen, they promote it inwardly inside the organizations, and the coaches know it happens, and the general managers know it happens, and the fans are fools if they think that this is a lone wolf player losing his temper and busting on some guy. The fans are idiots if they believe that that's the case. Idiots.
Yeah, but they're not trained to go out and break people's necks.
Oh, sure they're not.
They're not trained to do that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, okay.
Aggressive.
Uh-huh.
They're trained to be aggressive, but they're not trained to go out and end a person's career.
What do you mean aggressive?
Well, just aggressive by, like, forechecking, which is like going after the puck and being rough.
So oh, I see. So they don't train him, though, to take the stick and bust the guy's neck or bust his neck with your fist. They don't teach him how to swing their fists, swing the stick. All those guys that got their eyes gouged out of their heads and their throat slashed, that's all a mistake and an accident?
Not a mistake or an accident. They're all
Michael,
they're
how old are you, man?
Dude,
how old are you?
I'm 16.
Look, all I'm telling you is this. You can take this for what it's worth, man. Believe me when I tell you, in business, the first thing you got to do is sell it. That's the first thing you need to do. You need to sell it before you even need to have a good product in many cases. Because if you can sell it, who cares whether your product's any good? And in order to sell it, you've got to be aggressive. And in this very competitive world we live in, selling has become tougher and tougher and tougher. The National Hockey League depends on you, a loyal, good, smart guy, to buy their line of bullcrap about how they're appalled about this and appalled about that. Because then it looks good, and then it's like, oh, but nothing changes, man. Claude Lemieux did the same thing to that guy in Detroit. This stuff goes on year in and year out, and the NHL doesn't do anything about it because they don't want to do anything about it. And a good guy like Mike here, he buys it, man. You're 16. You're a smart guy. You'll get it. You'll get that you're being conned, man. Thanks for your call, brother. My young brother. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got a 1-800-449-8686. I want to talk to some callers here. Go ahead. Is this Gloria?
Yes. Phil, how are you?
Good.
I want to take it off the subject for a minute and ask you if you have seen the Sopranos. I've heard that you enjoy the Sopranos very much.
Yes, I do. You mean on Sunday night?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see it.
All right. I'm having an argument. There are two women that I play cards with. There is a scene where Tony and the doctor, Dr. Melfi, are engaged in intimate relations, and the camera shows her naked and then goes up to a mirror where she sees herself.
I'm familiar. It's a dream that she's having about having sex with Tony.
Yes. Now, do you think that's really her butt, or is it a stunt butt? Because
what do you mean a stunt butt? Are you talking about...
I'm just wondering, what do you think that's Lorraine Brock? I'm sorry to bother you.
I'm not familiar...
Well, that's the Hollywood term.
Stunt butt? So, in other words, they brought in a stunt butt instead of hers.
That is my familiarity, yes.
No, I don't think Lorraine Bracco would probably... I don't know. I mean, what do you mean?
And last season, they had stunt cans. And,
get out of here. They showed her nude, I know. I don't think it was her. I do believe it's a stunt butt, yes. Don't you? Then that Lorraine Bracco's too classy. Get the stunt body in. Put the stunt butt and cans in. She's going back to her trailer for a smoke. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Colin Farrell has said, Colin Farrell's the actor. You saw him in Daredevil, and then you saw him in Daredevil, and then you also saw him in Daredevil. Yeah, that actor. He has said he has a new son, and he has a smoke-free zone around his son. Now, he smokes himself, but he will not smoke around his son, James. Colin doesn't pull any punches. He says, quote, I make sure everyone knows there's no smoking within 50 yards of him, or I'll knock them out, no exceptions, end quote. Now, how is it, everybody, one more drunk Mick coming over to this country, starting a fight he can't finish. Just one more shanty Mick. And then this news, 50 Cent says, and now let me just quote this, because this was entered into the congressional record yesterday. 50 Cent said, quote, I ain't into faggots, end quote. Fitty tells Playboy magazine, I don't like gay people around me because I'm not comfortable with what their thoughts are. Boy, what a dumb, Tobacco Road black guy this cat is. You're not comfortable with their thoughts, huh? See, as you know, and as I've said in this program, and it's no secret, black people are notoriously homophobic. Black men are notoriously homophobic. Why? The reason is very simple. The black man has been basically socially castrated for hundreds of years. He sees himself as powerless. And so in order to get in some kind of power, he has to empower himself to lord over someone, and the most logical someone is the homosexual. Hence, the very legendary, virulent, and sometimes extreme homophobia that is existent among African-American men. However, having said all of that, most of the crimes of violence against homosexual men are committed by white men. So what's that all about? I don't know. It could be that white guys are going out and doing it after being paid by 50 Cent. And maybe they're not going to be doing it much longer because the clue on how cheap this guy is his name. They're only getting 50 Cent. Anyway, he said that I just don't go with gay people and kick it. But women who like women, he's into lesbians. You can't blame a guy for, you know, he's egalitarian. He said, that's cool. I could get into that. Look, 50 Cent, let me explain something to you. When we talk about real lesbians, not the ones that Hugh Hefner pays to have sex with each other, not the ones that you watch on videotape, that are actually straight women being paid to act like lesbians. I say lesbian because your name is 50 Cent. No, a real lesbian, 50, would castrate you and steal your gold and your Rolls Royce and then tie you to the grill and drive around town like that for a while. A real lesbian has hair under her arms, hair in her upper lip, bad breath, and could kick you and every single member of your posse out of your house. That's a real lesbian. You ain't into that, 50. Why don't you watch Monster Jim if you want to know just how into lesbians you is? I could get into that. Yeah, could you? gym shorts and sports bras and tossing the football around a motel pool. You're into that, huh? And a keychain on the belt? You like that? And if she takes her pants off, then those aren't panties, man. Those are boxer shorts. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hey, yeah. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Two things. That was a dumb comment about homosexuals. And secondly...
Which one, sir? Which one?
All about 50 cents and the homosexual behavior is stupid. Anyway, hey, I want to talk about hockey.
Then how come you guys into hockey are so a part of it?
Well, no, there's the generalization. The guy who got karate chopped.
Yeah, there's a generalization. Not unlike that fine point you made about homosexuality is bad. That's a real. That's really looking into the issue.
Well, come on. Then I'll accept.
Look at pal. Are you a hockey fan? You a hockey fan? Then it makes sense that you don't like gay people and that you're uncomfortable with your own sexuality. Tell you what, I'll hook you up with some guys, okay? Because you sound like a fag to me. Another faggot hockey fan. Jesus, can you keep them off the line just one night, please? These hockey fans, these guys that are uncomfortable with their own sexuality, calling up and busting down on gay people now. I'm going to say it again. Your boy up there in Vancouver, you ought to check him into daycare tomorrow, man. Get his underwear changed. He's a woman. You know, that's the highest insult in the Arab world, to call another man a woman. So let me say, you're a woman! And whether you like it or not there, Rick in Costa Mesa, there's going to be a whole bunch of married gay folk in a couple of years. Woo-hoo! And they'll probably be coming into your curtain shop or whatever it is you do for a living. They'll probably be coming into your little curtain shop, man, looking for bed skirts. So if I were you, I'd start stocking up. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, by the way, is phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. And just put on the letter whatever the heck it is about, okay? Because we do our mailbag once a week, and then we're done with it. But we do read letters, and we certainly, we'll read intelligent letters. What can I tell you, man? I mean, the ones that we don't read are the ones that are stupid. And if you don't know what a stupid email is, then keep writing them, man, and we'll keep throwing them away. But we do read critical emails, so long as they're, intelligent and they're signed. And if it's a fake name, I know it right away, because I don't know what it is. I'm just smart, Call me, don't bullcrap a bullcrapper, as they say. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Father James McQuarters and Mel Gibson's effort to return the flock to the church on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Father James McQuarters from Belmar Academy is with us, and he has, along with the rest of us, watched the incredible success of the film The Passions of Christ. It also brings to mind, at least it did bring to your mind, Father, and thank you for joining us, about the recent sexual allegations, and we can't call them allegations anymore, the reality of these horrific sex crimes committed by priests. You feel that The Passions of the Christ that film has done so much to return people back to the idea of becoming Catholics or remaining Catholic.
And also, Phil, thank you for having me on your program. It's also, I think, important to understand that it has reinvigorated, I think, traditional Catholics so that they have faith in their church again. And I commend Mr. Gibson for this remarkable film that has returned Catholicism and the Catholic flock, I think, back to the traditional view of Catholicism. It's not just that Catholicism is reinvigorated as a faith per se. It is that we are now more than ever as a Catholic community, involved in returning the church to its traditional roots, as articulated originally in the Opus Dei, which is a society that has been so very instrumental in trying to keep Catholicism and the Catholic liturgy in its traditional ways. And for that, I think we owe Mr. Gibson quite a bit.
Well, Opus Dei is an organization written about most recently in the Da Vinci Code.
That is correct. It is a society that is a lay liaison, if you will, to the Catholic clerical hierarchy, and it is devoted to maintaining a traditional Catholic liturgy.
Now, people should understand traditional Catholic liturgy, the Latin Mass.
The Latin Mass, the traditional celebration of the Eucharist, the traditional relationship between congregation and priest, as opposed to this, the more modern Mass, which is extant since Ecumenical II, which was in 1962. And
Ecumenical II was a meeting?
It was per se, yes, a meeting in Rome of bishops and Catholic lay people to restate the liturgy in modern terms. And I think it's been a failure. But more than anything else, I think Mr. Gibson should be commended because, as you see, these allegations of sexual misconduct have now gone off the front page and I think are going to be forgotten. And more importantly, I think the sacrament of forgiveness, which was given to us by the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to become a sacrament that we all bless ourselves with. And for that...
Just not to interrupt you, Father, you're saying that people will now forgive priests for the...
I think the forgiveness will be there. I think the priests can return to what they do, and that is to represent the Son of God here on earth. And
are you saying because of, I just want to be clear, because of the passions of the Christ, sexual misconduct, sex abuse, all of this stuff will be forgotten, and those priests that were guilty of it will return to practice as priests?
I think what Mr. Gibson is trying to say is, yes, let's take what these men do best, these priests who had been led astray by the same demon that tried to lead our Savior astray. And because he was the Son of God, of course, he was not going to be susceptible to that kind of temptation, but that men are susceptible to that temptation. But it's time to forgive and forget. It's time to forgive and forget and to allow the Catholic community to come together again. Mel Gibson has done more for the Catholic Church in repairing her standing, I think, in the international community, so badly shaken, that as such the time has come for us to give serious consideration to his nomination, I would consider to the very highest offices of the Church.
Well, you mentioned this to me before we went on the air. Mel Gibson for Pope?
Well, Phil, to begin with, it would be precedent. But you must understand what a remarkable thing it is that he did. This was a church that was in danger of imploding. And he brought the faithful back. And it would be consistent with the tenets of Opus Dei for a layperson who has been so singularly instrumental in bringing... Pope John Paul himself, may the good Lord bless him, was never as successful. And now he is infirm. And he's sick. And certainly has not been as successful as Mel Gibson.
I need to interrupt you, and I want to give our phone numbers out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mel Gibson has been instrumental, you're saying more successful, Father, in bringing people back to the Catholic faith than even Pope John Paul, and as such should be considered for the office of Pope. Now, this would be a precedent, as you say. It would be one in which a lay person would be... come the Pope of the Catholic faith, and not a priest.
There's really nothing in the liturgy, there's nothing in gospel, that tells us that the Pope, per se, must be a member of the Blessed Clerisy, but that only that he can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and is one who is singularly sacrosanct, and is one singularly unified with the body of the church. And I believe it is in the reality of what Mr. Gibson has done that we should focus, not the fact he's a movie star or that he's a movie director and all of this whatnot, but that he has been able to bring back to the Holy Catholic Church the flock, as we know.
So not that he made a movie.
He would have made a movie. He could have been an individual who wrote a book. He could be someone who preached the gospel. But Mel Gibson is not unlike the Lamb himself. He has given the priests who have seen the chance to spread the word of our Father once more by showing through this movie the depth of the faith of the Catholic Church. And I believe that is the paramount point to be made.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is on here with Father James McQuarters. Could you excuse me, Father? I got to take a sip of water.
That's the allergies you've got, Phil.
Yeah, I do have allergies. Hold on. All right. Opus Dei. Opus Dei. How do you spell it? D-E-I?
It is the work of God. Opus Dei is the work in Latin of God. A society of lay people that have tried to bring the church back to its traditional roots and have done such great work. You have to have, I think, been Catholic and involved in traditional organizations of the Catholic faith to know what Opus Dei is and what it does.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Mel Gibson, in making this film, has made people forget the sexual allegations of the priests, the sexual abuse of the priests, and so on and so forth, correct?
Well, I hasten to add that the sexual abuse, you say, we should say alleged sexual abuse. And
but, Father, a lot of it's been proven.
I don't think any of it's been proven. I think the priests have admitted to it.
Well, that in and of itself means guilt, doesn't it?
Well, I think they've admitted to it so that they can help heal the faith. I think you have an awful lot of martyrs among the clergy that have gone off to...
Are you saying that priests have admitted to acts of sexual molestation simply to martyr themselves?
I think in many cases, yes. But the good news, as Jesus brought us the good news of salvation, I think the good news from the director Mel Gibson is that we don't have to worry about sexual allegations any longer. We don't have to worry about sex abuse any longer. The Catholic faith has been brought back by this wonderful film, this magical film, a film that shows the beauty of the sacrifice of the Lamb. And
all right, now, again, I just want to be clear. Priests have been proven, many priests were proven to have sexually abused children. And
but again, why even think about it now? Because
well, I just don't want to rewrite history here.
But this film, The Passion of the Christ, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to martyr the priests anymore. You don't have to harangue them to death, and you don't have to accuse them of sins that they may not have committed, and send them to prison and martyr them.
Wait a minute. I don't think that we're martyring them. I'm just trying to be clear. Do you believe that there were some priests guilty of these acts?
I believe there were some priests. Absolutely, I believe there are priests guilty of overzealousness in counseling some people. Yes, and
overzealousness so that they would touch someone's sexual organs.
I think again, Phil. I want to get back to the notion we don't have to worry about sexual allegations. The Passions of the Christ has made Catholicism embraceable and has made Catholicism the number one religion in the world again. And for that, I thank Bill Gibson.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Has the Passions of the Christ caused people to forget all of the abuses of priests in the past? According to Father James McQuarter, not only has it, but it has done more than that. It's led people back to the Catholic faith. And for that reason alone, Father McQuarter and a group of American clerics and lay people who are in the Catholic faith believe that Mr. Gibson should be nominated to, as he says, quote, a high office of the church. And he doesn't rule out the office of the Holy Father himself, the papacy. Now, this is unprecedented, but Father McCourter says what Mr. Gibson has done for the Catholic faith is also unprecedented. He's done more than the Pope himself. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Father James McCourter joins me from Belmar Academy. Mel Gibson's Passions of the Christ, a film so profoundly influential, so profoundly moving, it has brought people back to the Catholic faith and even to forgive and forget the sins of the priests charged with sexual abuse. Is that the case? And in saying Opus Dei, this is an organization that people may not be aware of.
Well, again, Phil, if you've read the Da Vinci Code.
Well, a lot of people may. I haven't read it.
Well, I can tell you that a great many people are reading the Da Vinci Code. By wherever I go, I see the book, and it's difficult to grasp, but it's an insider thing. It's kind of hip and it's kind of interesting. But again, I believe that Mel Gibson is, for all intents and purposes, and you would never have gotten this from a Jewish filmmaker, by the way, you would never have gotten a film so profound, such as Martin Scorsese's Last Temptation of Christ, because Mr. Scorsese is a Jew. The film itself does not, I think, address...
Are you saying a Jewish film? Martin Scorsese, I don't think, is Jewish, but would not have addressed this issue.
I don't think as profoundly, no.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to a phone call. Laura calling us. Laura, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Father James McCourter.
Yes, Father. I just had a point I wanted to make to you tonight, and that is, you say that because Mel Gibson made a movie about God, that all these child molesters should be forgiven. Well, why don't you take all of these victims and bring them to the movie and ask them if they're still screaming at night? Have they forgiven these people?
Well,
a movie is not going to change everybody's life.
I think what we see in this film is the sacrifice that the blood of the Lamb can bring to all of us, Laura, and that if you see what the suffering was of our Savior, you know that these priests are forgiven whether or not they're guilty.
Absolutely. I know that they are forgiven, but that does not mean that we as a society, we need to forgive them or we need to forget about them.
The goal of Christianity is to be as Christ-like as possible. And a part of what we learn from our Savior is to forgive. And
well, that's true. Father, what you said is that you did not agree with that they actually did do this. You said that maybe they did do it, but we need to move on. Well, you know what?
Why don't
you talk to the victims and see if they can move on by seeing a movie?
Yes, I hear what you're saying, Laura. I think a lot of these victims are, to use the vernacular, to use the colloquialism, a lot of them are beating a dead horse. You know, they're crying and whining.
We're not beating a dead horse. What we're trying to do is, you know, we're trying to heal individuals that were hurt.
We have to look
at the victims before we're going to look at the priests. You know, these priests, it's not like they went out and had sex with women. They molested and raped boys. They are pedophiles. They should be put in prison like anybody else. Because you are a priest does not mean that you are untouchable.
That is true.
Like police officers.
That's a good point.
They go to prison.
Well, that is true. But because I'm a priest, I should be allowed a little extra something, if you want to use the colloquialism, a little extra something in my envelope.
It's okay for you to go out and rape and molest children, and we should say, well, gee, he's a priest, that's okay? Do you hear how you're saying that?
Why don't you call these victims and
ask them if it was okay?
Well, I'm not interested in talking to them, because a lot of them, as I said, are very
Why aren't you interested in them? They're little boys, sir.
I understand that, but they keep
beating
the same drum, and... Laura,
you want to push it under a rug and you want to move on.
Well, I think, Laura, you must move on yourself.
We cannot move on when we have people like you
Were you molested?
That want to just look the other way.
Laura,
there's nothing wrong with turning the other cheek. There's nothing wrong with that.
Laura, you
but
were
you
were
have
molested,
to
you?
Forgive the
sinner. Laura, hold on. You got to let the father say. What were you saying, Father?
Laura, I wanted to ask Laura, were you molested too?
No, I was not molested.
You said we.
We as a society.
Ooh, gotcha. How do you like me now? Huh? No, you said we, and I think you were. Someone
touched
you.
No, I said we as a society.
Did your did your father touch you?
No, my father didn't touch me.
Did your mother touch you?
Wait a minute. This is not about Laura.
Okay. That's got nothing to do with
it. You have to let Mel Gibson into your heart and allow
Mel Gibson into my heart?
Because he made a film for you so that you won't hate as much as you do now. And you're full of hate and anger.
Oh, man.
You're full of the sickness of hate.
Well, wait a minute.
No,
see,
I'm not
I think
sickness of hate, sir. It's that you don't seem to understand.
The priest has spent the last 3 years in pain, and they need to be forgiven. They touched a boy.
Right. They did not touch
big
boys.
Big wow?
Them.
What do you mean they touched a boy?
Raped
big
them,
wow.
Sir. They did not touch boys. That's where you're mistaken.
Well, what if they touched a girl? Is that okay? Ah,
no, it's not.
You have
but
a double
the point
standard.
Is that
you don't mind if someone grabs you.
Oh, man. This
wait a minute, wait a minute. Father, she's not saying.
Laura, if you would pray with me, our Father.
I don't want to pray with you.
Help
I want
Laura
you to
allow Mel Gibson
not
into her heart.
Out there looks at things your
and
way.
So that she'll go
you
and see
Mel
the passions of the priest.
He made a movie.
And. I'm sorry?
You want Mel Gibson to be the Pope because he made a movie?
I think he's done profoundly wonderful things for our church, Laura, and that you can't see that.
And I'm not
going to
agree with that. I don't
all right, Laura,
agree with that.
Thank
I
you
really
very much.
Don't.
We're going to move on, but thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I agree that she's angry, but I also would also like to say that she's making the point you can't forgive these priests and just move on.
Well, I want to ask you, when you see the Passions of the Christ, how long do you want to hear them beating that drum? Oh, he touched me. He touched me, I know he touched you. Jesus H. Can we move on is what I'm trying to say.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. John, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm not angry. I just wanted to say that, you know, I am a Christian, and your message is basically an insult to me, but hear me out.
My message is forgiveness, John. My message is forgiveness.
Let me talk and you'll talk.
Yeah, let the gentleman talk and go ahead, John.
Okay, all I have to say is, you know, you have love and you have justice. They are different. They're the same side of it's like a scale. And if you have love with no justice, you don't have love.
They're the same
side
of the scale.
But if you have, you know, what I'm saying is,
they're the same two sides of the same coin, I think he wanted to say.
No, he said two sides of a scale.
They're two sides
of the same coin.
Things get sure that too.
Hey, John, I tell you what. Hold on, John. Hold on, Johnny.
Wait.
This is the host. This is the host. Hold on. We're going to take a commercial break, and I'll get back to you. Okay. 1-800.
No, he said two sides of a scale.
He said he misspoke.
Well, I don't understand why I can't have callers. Who can make sense and not sad like retards?
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show with Father James McWhorter, Mel Gibson, and The Passions of the Christ.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I want to get Father James McWhorter back with a caller that we had to break off the line with because we went to our break. It's John, and then you have some comments you want to make about the film that you made in the newspaper Vobiscum Weekly, which is the order of priests that you belong to. Go ahead, John.
All I have to say is that, you know, God's real big on justice, and these crimes are so heinous that the forgiveness is not mine to give, but these people are ticking time bombs. They ruin lives. God knows how much violence they go out. And that's my one point.
I think you need to understand that forgiveness is part and parcel
of the
miracle of the faith.
I know what forgiveness is. Everybody knows what forgiveness is.
Because
you were
molested.
These people are too dangerous.
Doesn't mean that you can't forgive. Were you
too dangerous.
Did you say you were molested?
It is impractical. What?
Were you molested yourself?
Oh, God, no. Please stop. Look,
what
I'm saying is...
Did you allow priest liberties with yourself?
because
no!
Good God, no! Jeez, get off it! Look, all I'm saying is, I know a lot of Catholics, too. You know, they're my friends. No, wait, look, I'll let you... Look,
go ahead, go ahead.
All I got to say is that none of them think anything like you think at all. And all your statements, and especially your association to a movie that's done a lot for Christians... They're just an insult to every Catholic, an insult to every Christian I know. My God, if I were the devil, I would hire you. I have never in my life hurt somebody.
Joseph, you are in the throes. You are in the throes of Satan's embrace.
Oh my gosh, yes,
you are. You are castigating a priest of God and a man who has given his
I am saying that a man who,
as you allowed the priest to squeeze a
cheek, should be popped like a boil on the buttocks of society. That is what I'm saying.
You see the fixation you have on the buttocks?
Oh, this is blah, blah. You're a whack job.
Can I ask you, are you gay?
No.
Because the way you go, no, sounds...
All right. 1-800-449-8686. In a column that you wrote for the Vobiscum Weekly said, "The Passions of the Christ as Medicine," you mentioned that you and Father Staley, who is also a member of your order, went to see this film, and he turned to you and said that he had a real tension release.
That is correct, yes.
What did you mean by that?
I realized in seeing this film that the Passions of the Christ satiated in the mind and body of the molesting priest a certain need, shall we say, for the sadism that drives his crime and his sin. And if the molesting priest can see the Passions of the Christ, to use the vernacular, the colloquialism, he get his cookies. And I think...
Wait. Are you trying to tell me that a priest seeing the Passions of the Christ who would want to go molest a child gets his jollies watching?
I think the sad aspect of this crime and this terrible sin these priests commit... Yes, can be satiated by this film, yes.
But now you're saying that a priest enjoys watching a man who is playing the part of Jesus being whipped almost to death, and that way he won't molest children.
I think the beginning of forgiveness and healing is the beginning of the healing aspect itself, yes. And I think of Father Staley, who was convicted, I believe, at last count, 9 counts of molestation and is now working in our rectory garden and also the service porch. I think if he can find release, that there is hope.
You're okay. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Samira. Samira, hello, Samira. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. Thank you for the chance. And I wanted to say about the father. And I'm very embarrassed.
Are you a Catholic?
No, I'm not. I'm a Muslim.
Would you like to say confession?
No, I don't. Can I make my point, sir?
Have you sins to confess?
Why would she have sins to confess?
Well, she said she's a Muslim, so 3 guesses. You know,
don't be a smart, you know.
It's a very, very sad thing. Catholics should be very embarrassed for you representing them in this show.
Why am I
saying...
embarrassing. How do you feel about Osama bin Laden? I think that's kind of a...
Let's not get down that road, okay?
No.
Well, she says, I'm a Muslim. I think you ought to be embarrassed by that guy. What's his name? Abu Abbas? Yeah, he ain't too hot either.
Who is he?
Right, who is he? Good.
Yeah.
Good one.
All right, okay, make your point, Samara.
I'm a Muslim, you started talking about terrorists. Why don't we talk about what you're saying? You're saying that being molesting children is all right.
Yes, but flying an airplane into a building is a little bit worse.
Right now, wait a minute.
Hold on, everybody.
Okay.
All right. You're saying, Father, that Muslims flew an airplane into a building and Catholics just molested kids, and that's not the same thing?
I think 3,000 people turned into ash. Yeah, that's a big one. You don't think it is, Samara?
All right, okay, let's move on. 1-800-449-8686.
You see, you get these ragheads.
Well, just don't even worry about that.
Jesus. You shouldn't be molesting children, but by the way, anybody have the directions to the World Trade Center?
All right, so you got a point.
You're bloody well told I've got...
449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Let's go over here to Michael. Hold on for a minute. Let's go to Joseph. Joseph, go ahead. Joseph, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I was on. Maybe you ought to clear the air right up front. I am not now, nor have ever been molested by a priest, and I'm not a homosexual. We can get past
can
that.
Can I ask you a question, sir?
Huh?
Why are you interested in this topic, then?
Well, I don't know. You're the one that raised it. I had two observations to begin with. One,
well, I find
you made a statement earlier about the profound nature of Martin Scorsese's film. The only thing that was profound about that film was its hatred of Christianity. And if we have learned anything from the Good Thief is that you must ask for forgiveness. It's not coming.
Can I ask you a question, sir?
Sir, you may.
Can you hear the beautiful organ music in the background behind me? I'm in the chapel here at the Vobiscum Order. Can you hear that music? That music is being
yes,
played.
Yes, I can, but not very well.
All right, sir. But that music is being played by Father Staley, who not more than 6 months ago was released from the men's colony at Chino for molesting six boys ages 5 to 13. And yet now he's making beautiful music like that.
Well, that's fine. I suggest you keep him busy at it and he won't molest anybody else for a while.
I did that and I took him to see the Passion of the Christ and he said, I'm satiated.
Yeah. Phil, are you there?
Yes, sir.
This guy's no priest. He's a shaman.
I mean,
no wonder I left
the
church.
No, hold on for a minute. Oh, so you're a fallen away Catholic. Ah, you're a Jack Catholic. Isn't that right?
There you go.
What's
I
your name?
Not hear you.
What is your name, Paul?
Joseph.
Are you a Jack Catholic?
I am an ex-Catholic.
Or are you just a jackass? I'm kidding.
Like I said, Phil, the guy's a shaman.
Are you really a priest?
If I'm not a priest, may God strike me dead right now.
Father? Father? All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the eighth wonder of the world. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Father James McQuarters is with us. Are you, because I can hear the organ playing of Father Staley.
Yes, that's Father Staley. Hold on, if you could hold, Phil.
Go ahead.
Because I want to give away a pair of tickets to go on our parish bus to Laughlin to see the Passions of the Christ. And
you have a pair of tickets you want to give away on my show?
Yes, Father Staley, if you could chill that, thank you. All right. Now, I want people to call your radio station right now, Phil. Hmm? And,
are you watching TV?
Yeah, Outer Limits is on.
Okay, all right, that's fine, but,
All right, turn it down, will you? All right, if you can answer this question and call, what is the number of the radio station, Phil?
1-800.
449.
8686.
8686.
Okay, what's the question?
All right, be the fifth caller. And
what's the question, Father?
All right, why did Jesus cross the road?
No.
So that's the question.
I've got the answer.
Well, please don't.
He crossed the road because he was nailed to the chicken, and I don't think it's funny, and I don't think.
All right, here's another one. Jesus and Moses were on the golf course. Like,
get out of here! Hey, all you molesting priests, go see the Passions of the Christ, man. It'll get you, get your cookies. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, yesterday we had on our radio show.
Who?
Oh, yeah, Doug Danger, and he was talking about straights want gays to be married. In fact, gay marriage is becoming more popular than ever in opinion polls with straight people because, frankly, they don't know how to be married anymore. They need gays to lead the way.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hey there, what is the gentleman's name? I'm sorry.
Doug.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what is that?
Doug, I can
My
speak
name is Doug
you know, from a gay or lesbian aspect, or however you want to put it, but, I mean, judgment is something that, obviously, a gay and a lesbian person go through life fighting against with the judgment.
What?
And you yourself are laying it out there, judging straight people.
Well, no,
it's not a factor of who is better. It's not a factor of who can portray a better marriage.
I don't need a straight person to tell me how life is, okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I can
I realize that you are a journalist. I'm very proud of you, okay? I am a lesbian that is out in my community as well, and I've been gay for 5 years. Okay,
I
mean, I've been in my relationship for 5 years.
You don't sound like a lesbian. You sound like a straight chick that maybe experimented with it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Isn't that what you are?
Thank you very much.
Isn't that what you are? Yeah.
Is this... No, it's not.
You're some woman out there who's straight, and you experimented with your girlfriend in college, and now you think you're a lesbian when it suits you.
Okay.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I just talked to some dyke in San Francisco, and she agreed with me. She said...
No, she did not. She was a lesbian woman in San Francisco. She did not agree with you.
Well, who are you to say that gays are going to produce a better marriage than what straight people
are? Well, I already explained it to you, okay? Now, you run off with your girlfriends and go pretend like you're lesbians this weekend.
Doug, your dismissal of this woman...
What do you want me to do, okay? Right now, I'm at the end of my rope with this screaming brat. I'll take that kid and toss it out in the street. And that kid's flat head will resemble
therapy.
A flat... Why do I need therapy?
Obviously, you need not to write about it. You need to talk to somebody
about it. You just like
it.
To go to the girl bar to have somebody squeeze your rear end in the can, and then you go back to your boyfriend and go, ooh, here's what I did tonight.
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you, judgment is your biggest sin, anybody's biggest sin.
Okay,
and
my
that
senior.
And is your biggest fault, obviously. And it's sad to know that
we have
people out there that are out there trying to fight for us, actually making us look that bad.
Can you pitch?
You portraying...
Can you pitch?
What a gay person's marriage is going to be, it's actually sad.
I'm saying gay people are going to do it. Okay, Ann Hage, thanks for calling. Look, I'm saying that people...
Will you knock it off with this?
I mean...
No, really. I'm saying that gay people are going to do a better job with marriage than straight people, and why do I say that? Because look at what straight people have done with everybody. Will you shut that kid up?
Hey, Doug, you should take care of that child and get off the phone with me.
No, I want to make this point. Straight people are going to do better...
In front of a truck.
Straight people have done a terrible job with marriage. Gay people are going to do a better job. And Melissa... I think Helen's free tonight.
You know something? You don't know the ratios of what, I mean, what freaking straight marriages have actually made it? Which ones have not? Okay, gays are going to have the same problem. But to get out there and say, I would not want you sitting on state legislature to get there saying that this is why we need to be married because gay or straight people do it like this. Come on. What kind of word is that speaking for us?
Listen.
I don't know what community you write for,
Jerry,
but I'm glad that it's not actually the one that's going to make our decision for the gay community.
Are you talking about our? You're still imagining yourself as being gay, aren't you? Wow, this girl's up.
Well, maybe she is.
You are a very judgmental person.
Hey, Phil, will you hang on?
You know something?
I'm
going to
rub some Southern Comfort on that kid's gums.
Success. I don't really care what your success is. Because
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Really,
look, it worked.
What?
I rubbed some Southern Comfort on a kid's mouth.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen, Melissa, so thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Melissa. And, hey, listen, the girl bar has a special straight section.
Yeah, and there's also good therapists if you need a number, honey.
Well, okay, give me one. I got a number for you.
1-800-FU, okay?
Hey, here's a number for you. 1-2-3, you're a dyke.
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy Gold.
800-449, what?
Why can't Jesus eat M&Ms? Because they keep falling through his hands.
Why do you let him back on, man? Because they keep falling through his hands. That's pretty funny. No, it's not. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Get the trunk off of the organ. All right, don't forget our website is www.philhenryshow.com, and you can pick up all kinds of fun stuff there. If you just go to our website, our souvenir shop is wide open. We're featuring the Teds of Beverly Hills shot glasses this St. Patrick's season. My daughter this morning, have you got anything green? No, I don't, honey. I don't wear any green. I don't have any green shirts. How many green shirts have you got? I have no green hats. I got a New York Jet hat, and there's no way she's taking that to school. But every year, you know, the St. Paddy's Day is fun for the kids, but every year it's like green, 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 green. Used to be a time I could smile, my teeth were green, but that was before Crest. So we have the St. Patrick's Day shot glasses, and you can go to our website and pick those babies up by just going to www.philhenryshow.com. A great St. Patty's Day gift idea. And when you go into the Ted's Beverly Hills shop, you'll see all kinds of stuff there. Ted's shirt. When are we having him back on the show, man? I miss him. I miss that bucktooth guy. Old Ted is probably going to have green steak as a special there at the restaurant. Plus, our Best Of CD, The Death of Talk Radio, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD is available online. Or you can order it on the phone at 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. And all of the money that we raise through the sale of our CD, all of it goes to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And after production costs, literally all of the money goes to those guys. We're very happy to do it. They really got an awesome situation going over there on the other end of Hollywood Boulevard helping the kids out. So there you go, man. And whenever you can log on, that'd be a very cool thing. By the way, speaking of the Passions of the Christ, apparently this guy, Jim Caviezel, is getting, like, garbage thrown on him on streets and, you know, every time I think that maybe everything's going to be okay and kind of get chill, we just go right back to the 1950s, don't we? We just love those, remember those traditional family values everybody was talking about? That's it. Let's get on back to the good old days where we were, when we were dumb and happy. Poor guy's walking down the street and somebody said he's throwing garbage on him. Hey, news for you. He ain't Jesus. He's just an actor. If you wanted to crucify Jesus or throw garbage on him, you're 2,000 years too late. No sense throwing the stuff on Jim, man. He's just going in to have himself a latte and a cigar, okay? What do you want, Father?
Phil, we're having a Passions of the Christ party, and we'd love you to come down. We've hired Journey. And
that's nice. Journey. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Robert Green, he's the CEO of Fraser Foods, but more importantly, this is the time of year when kids, your high school senior, is sending out or has sent out his applications and his interest in different schools, and parents help them follow up on their application forms and finding a college for your young person, right, Bob?
It's an exciting time of year, Phil, and my son Ryan fortunately has done so well in his high school career that he has gotten interest from a lot of really great schools. We're talking about a young man who scored a 1460 on his SAT. It's a great time, and you want to tell parents that it's tough out there. You got to be prepared for some disappointment. Most of the parents, I guess, but my son is a great kid. I guess you could say that my son thinks outside the box. People need to understand him because he does have such a brilliant mind. For a lot of the parents out there, your kids are not, I guess they're not as quick as my boy is, and it's going to be tougher to find a college.
All right, we're talking about your son, Ryan. He gave the finger to his history teacher, right? He just stood up and gave her the finger?
Well, no, but the whole story is that I was telling him after we got some interest in Stanford. We got mail from Stanford. And I don't know how many parents out there can say that their kid got interest from Stanford, but he got interest from Stanford. We've gotten interest from Duke. These are two of the great schools.
I want to get back to this because your son gave the finger to a history teacher, right?
All right. Let me give you some background on Ryan. Ryan's mother, who I married, obviously basically deserted him and me when he was very young. And for the last 15 years, Phil, Ryan, it's just been him and I. So naturally, he has a suspicion of women, which is not his fault. I married the woman that had him. I'm to blame. Remember also, we recognize in our society that there are people who are very special, and you have to take their actions into context. I think Kobe Bryant's an example of that. I think if you look at this brilliant young man, Ted Bundy, who, yes, was a vicious murderer, but he had everything going for him. He fought outside the box. He was unusual. He was different. He was arrested for murder. Do we forgive him? No, we don't. I don't know whether we should or not. I do know that we have these special people.
All right, but let me ask you something. How old is your son?
Ryan is 17. He's going to be 18 in June. And, again, we're very fortunate. He's a very gifted young man.
Right. But I know he scored high on his SAT.
He got a 1460, right.
All right. But giving the finger to an adult authority figure is wrong.
Absolutely right.
You agree?
Oh, of course I do, Phil. It is wrong. I told him that. You know, the other great thing about him, he carries a 4.50 GPA with honors, and other kids struggle. And
well, it's a lot of these things, if you tell me his SAT score and his GPA, which are very admirable. A 4.5 with honors is outstanding. Does that forgive him flipping off his history teacher?
I think what you need to say, other kids are struggling, and a lot of these kids are jealous of Ryan's intelligence. Let me say this, Phil. I always tell him, always remember you're special and that no one can take that away from you. Even though your mother left us when you were 2 years old, and maybe that's why he gave that woman the finger, but it is still wrong. And even though we're talking about a kid who got a 1460, it's wrong that he would give her the bone. But
how do you discipline him? Did you talk to the teacher about this?
Well, I got on the phone with this woman, Maisie, who he gave the middle finger to, and I said, I understand Ryan gave you the finger. Please understand that Ryan is, as you know, a very gifted and intelligent young boy. If he gave the finger, it stems from the frustration that his mother was really just a tramp. And I've always taught Ryan that women, you know, can be dangerous, and probably he read that the wrong way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods. Your son is a special kid. He's intelligent. But that kind of flaunting of authority, it's wrong. And shouldn't he be given that message clearly? Not the message that you have a GPA of 4.50, not the message that you're special, but that you did something very wrong.
I totally agree, and I think he gets it. But when your mother, you know, ran out and was in bed with, you know, new men.
Have you taught him to hate women? Or
no, I haven't taught him to hate women. I'm simply saying this. My son's a special kid. You're trying to hold him to a standard of other kids. I don't think you can do that. Let me say it again. A 1450 on his SATs, 4.50 GPA. We just got a letter of interest from Stanford. So I don't understand your question, right?
Well, all right. Those are impressive things. You know,
his mother was a tramp. I raised that boy from the time he was two. His mother would sleep with a bush if she thought a snake was in it.
Look, this is a bad thing that his mother ran out on you, and you are to be commended that you raised that boy, and I understand. I'm trying to figure out, do you think he should be allowed more leeway with respect to certain behavior because his mother was a tramp and he's a special boy?
In my son's case, we've got letters from Yale, letters from Duke. We got a letter from Caltech 6 days ago. I mean, this is a kid who's he's on the fast track. I'll give you an example of what you're saying. I don't approve of this.
Well, that's what I want to find out.
Of course I don't. Apparently, Ryan and some other boys a few months ago, they were down near the railroad tracks in Orange, and they roughed up this old woman. It was a lady down there. She was homeless, one of these bag ladies.
Well, you say roughed up?
Well, they beat her pretty good. And I said at the time, Ryan, this is wrong, but I also let the police know that they were dealing with a very intelligent boy who was going to contribute immensely to society. So I let these cops have it pretty good, and I told them about this tramp he had for a mother. And so once I set the cops straight, they shook my hand. And I got Ryan home, and I said, son, you can't do that anymore. And I think he gets it. But he thinks outside the box. He's a different kind of a kid.
Everybody loves their kids, right?
Absolutely.
And everyone believes that their kids are special, correct?
Everyone believes their kids are special, but not everybody is correct in assuming their kids are special. I got, again, maybe you didn't hear me, but I've got...
No, you told me. He's got a 1450 SAT. He's got a...
Well, are you listening to that, or am I just talking to myself?
You're not talking to yourself, sir. I understand that.
Well, you can't just hear a 1450 SAT and a 4.5 and start telling me that he's supposed to act like other kids, or...
Sir, I'm not saying that your boy is not unique. What I'm saying is, giving the middle finger...
So he gave her the middle finger. He didn't kill anyone.
But giving the middle finger to a teacher in class. You understand?
I'm still listening to you.
Do you... All right, so this is something that should be forgiven.
The last time I checked, Phil, flipping off a teacher doesn't kill anybody. There's no bloodletting. There's no, no injury. You're trying to make it sound like Columbine. You know, giving somebody the bone, tossing them a bone ain't Columbine.
How about beating up that old bag lady?
That was wrong. And I told Ryan it was wrong. And he said, I understand now, Dad. But you need to understand, my son has a huge future ahead of him. These things are minor in the big picture. And right now, with all the college letters coming in, I don't know how many people can say their son got a letter from Yale. Mine did. So if we're jealous, we're jealous.
Well, I don't think it's jealousy.
A lot of kids act up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman's kid is, like so many kids are looking to apply to colleges, he flipped off his teacher and he beat up a bag lady, but because he's got a 4.50 GPA with honors and a 1450 on his SATs, then, or 1460, I should say, then really you got to give him some leeway. Do we have a need for special people in this society that is so extreme that when they act antisocial, we need to sort of look the other way? 1-800-449-8686 with Robert Green. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. His son is Ryan. Very exceptional kid, but he might need some authority training. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
On the line with me is Robert Green. He's just a parent. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. But we're talking, I got a young man who is on his way to college, and he is also a young guy who is exemplary. My boy doesn't have the grades your guy has, but he's gotten letters from schools. I know that your son Ryan has gotten letters from Stanford and Duke and all these other things. But the question is this, does this forgive behavior, you know?
Phil, let me put it to you this way. You ever heard of a guy by the name of, maybe you read about it in the newspapers, his name was O.J. Simpson. Yes, he might have committed a violent crime, but we realize that these people are special. The ability that he had as an athlete, I mentioned Kobe Bryant. William Kennedy Smith is another one who has outstanding ability. A great legal mind.
Does that mean he doesn't go to jail?
I didn't say it doesn't mean he doesn't go to jail. I'm saying, do you send an outstanding young man like that away for a long time because he thinks outside of the box?
And well, how do you call rape thinking outside of the box?
It's wrong. But that was his unusual approach to befriending a woman. And
violence is a very unusual approach.
Well, you call it violence, and it is violence, but he didn't know that it was violence. He just wanted her to, I don't know, but these guys are way far ahead of me. They're smarter than I am. And that's what I'm saying about my son.
Who beat up a homeless woman.
Well, he did it with three other boys, so you can't single him out.
All right, so four guys beat up a homeless woman. 1-800-449-8686. Linda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Am I on right now?
Right now, ma'am. Yes, go ahead. You're on with Robert
Green. Okay, great. Listen, I cannot believe what an idiot father you are, okay?
Well, if you want to call people names, ma'am, I haven't called you a name.
Well, I don't really care. Listen, I am a mother of three.
For
you to sit there and say that O.J. Simpson, what he did was okay, and for you to say what your son did was okay, I can understand why your son's doing this, because you must be the worst figure of a father there is. I don't care how smart your son is.
I stayed with the boy. His mother walked out on him, all right? This tramp that I married, she was a dancer, and it was my mistake. It was my mistake. But I
okay,
stayed
that's
with that
no
boy.
Excuse. No matter, I understand that your son is intelligent, and I think that's wonderful. But your son is no different than any other human being on this planet. If he pulls a crime, he's got to pay the time. Okay, he can pay the time and then go to college. But you know what? If he's that smart, he wouldn't have done this kind of crime.
Oh,
he obviously has no common sense.
Why trust women when his tramp mother...
You keep calling her a tramp, sir. Was she sleeping around?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Who cares?
But I mean...
Oh, who cares? Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, when your husband does that to you, you tell me whether you care or not. I can tell you it burns. It burns worse than any kind of venereal disease you've ever had.
Okay, are we talking about you, or are we talking about your son's problem?
Well, we're talking about my... Well, it was his mother. It was his mother.
Okay.
Don't you call that his problem?
No.
I'm right here.
Listen, I'm a listener on your show, and I got to tell you... The last three or four
my
shows that I've listened to...
My son has been scarred by that tramp of a mother, and I work very hard to warn him about women.
The last... Are you running the show, or is the...
Well, what are you doing? You're talking
it?
To... I'm the guest.
No, I want to talk to the... I want to talk to Phil, okay?
I understand
listen,
that, but I'm the guest.
The last three nights that you've had the most idiotic people on it, I can't
calls.
Believe they're real people. Are you,
I don't know what the point
real?
Of what you're saying, ma'am. What I'm trying to do is we're at a time of the year when kids are applying for college. And their SATs and their GPAs.
Well, she doesn't get it. Have you been to college, ma'am?
Okay, you know what, sir?
Yeah,
yes, I have.
Right,
can I tell you something? Can
I
tell you something?
Who is very
I have a feeling that you're not the father of this child because you're stupid for him to have an IQ that high.
I'll tell you what, you can insult me all you want, but you should talk to his mother, who's probably laying on a mattress someplace in a shooting gallery.
Well, good for her. It's probably better than being with someone as ignorant as you.
Just like you women to run out on your kids.
Oh,
all right.
I have three children, and I'm married. I've been married for 16 years.
16
and it doesn't
years,
matter. My
16
children,
years for the same guy?
If my son did the same thing your son did, I think he deserves to be punished. You don't go beat up
I didn't say
a bad
that
lady.
You don't get punished. I told him it was wrong.
Well, is that all you did?
He's an intelligent boy. Man, I bet you see a bus go through town, and you dream about hopping on and leaving your kids and getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
To the FBI?
Yeah. You know,
a
big
would you
career.
Pull that one out of a cloud?
A big
I mean,
career.
What sense did that make?
Getting all the way to the... Well, a big career. Don't you dream about having a big career?
I don't know. What was your IQ level
or do
when
you
were tested?
Or do you just have a big rear? See? Yeah. See, I can laugh after the tramp left me.
Well, look, I'm going to make this point, and it's been made before. You sound as if you've got an issue with women, and it sounds like you passed it on to your son.
I passed it on to my son. The tramp walked out on him.
Okay, stop making
all right,
excuses
okay.
for yourself.
And Linda, you know, what's your point, okay? 16 years, so what? You still live with your kids?
Yes, I have
gotcha.
Three children.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
My point is your son deserves to pay for the crime he did, to learn something from it. And if he doesn't pay the crime, that crime will get more serious and more serious.
Read my lips. 4.5 GPA with honors, 1460 SATs. Sorry if your kid can't even come up to half of that.
Manson. Does that mean he should have got off?
Manson? You got his
GPA? Manson's a very intelligent man.
Okay, thanks, Linda. I got to move on. Manson?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Manson. Oh, no, I said Manson.
Oh, you're right. You said it. Let me go to 1-800-449-8686. Albert, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Albert?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I'm talking to the goddess on the phone. Sir, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm in the same situation you are. I have five kids. I don't have their mothers and stuff, but that doesn't give you no right to sit there and talk about the kid's mother. You don't know if that kid is listening to you. You are setting that kid up for failure. That kid is going to be a failure. I don't care how many SATs that kid passed. I don't care how much GPA that kid has. If he's out there doing stuff like he's doing right now, he's going to be behind bars.
Albert, what were your SATs?
Hold up. No, let me say it, and then I'll listen to you. I'm a good listener, just like you are.
All right, let the man
I waited an hour to talk to you because you are setting that kid up for failure, and you sound like the same thing that that kid is. So what that lady did that?
You know, are you sure her name is
Alberta? You don't come and drag the lady down because that's what she did.
Well, that's exactly
what she did.
Let me ask you this. Don't you
think Kobe Bryant
special?
Good reason.
Wait a minute, gentlemen.
You for a good reason.
Hold on.
And now the whole point is you can't even understand that you're hurting your own son.
Now let's have a dialogue here.
Stuff.
Hold on.
Now you say what you have to say.
All right, let's have a dialogue here.
Hold on, Phil. I just want to say, Albert, to you, a 4.5 is probably a high jump. And
now, what is that supposed to mean?
No, that's the problem his son has right now. That's his problem his son has. He should be, if I was him, I would have took
that's
myself off and I would have whooped
score,
my
you know,
son's butt. That's
all right.
What I would have
well,
done.
Well, I think that's entirely appropriate.
I would ask Albert, you know who Kobe Bryant is, okay? All right, so he raped this girl.
Yes, I do.
All right, so maybe he raped this girl. Do you think he should go away for 20 years? No,
he's
a special guy.
If he raped that girl, he should go away for as many years as he does. He deserves.
Because
you cannot go around forcing nobody to do nothing.
What are the Lakers
going to
do without him? What are the Lakers doing without him, though?
Who cares what the Lakers?
Who cares about the damn Lakers?
Well, see, you don't get it about special people, then.
I get it about special people because I'm special myself, okay?
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
How big was the bus you used to ride to school?
I don't run around putting my kids up on a pedestal that's going to fall and make them hurt themselves. You know what? It's not the kid, it's you.
Albert, 4.5 isn't a diving score, okay?
All right. Albert, thank you for your call, sir. Good points. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This kid's SATs are high. Does it forgive him beating up a bag lady?
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Mr. Green, Robert Green is with us. Your son has a 4.5. I understand that. Your son has a 1460 SAT. I understand that.
Well, you're saying it like it's no big deal.
But you're telling me he flipped off a teacher. He was involved in beating up a bag lady. He was involved in pistol whipping a woman, tying her up and taking her car on a joyride. These things are dangerous crimes.
I do not deny that at all, Phil. I'm not saying that they're not dangerous, and I'm not saying that they're not should not be punished. But when I say that, then you turn around and you just let 1460 SAT go in one ear and out the other.
No, I don't, sir.
Well, yes, I think you do. And a 4.5 with honors. And also a tramp for a mother. And I've been married 3 times since his mother left. They've all left the boy and me. Why? Because they don't like Ryan. They say he scares them because he's intelligent and he's being wooed by Yale. And these women are all resort trash and casino trash.
Sir, has it occurred to you that maybe you shouldn't marry casino trash?
These are mistakes I've made, yes. Absolutely. But a man sits at a table. A man has a gin and tonic. He gets it from a very friendly young cocktail waitress who he begins to talk to. She seems to have the same interests as he does. And nature takes its course. You blame my son for that? I don't think it's right.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Chris. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Sir, I think that your son does definitely think out of the box. And, but he thinks in a different box, in a different frame of reference. It sounds to me that you have some real bad energy about women because of his mom, and you've passed this on to your son. No normal child...
Well, not just his mother, but the four
wives
I've had.
You're not letting me talk.
The four wives I've had. Well, I've had 4 wives, so don't just say one woman.
Yeah, but you're saying you're calling his mother, his birth mother, the woman that's his biological mother, a tramp. You have conditioned him to think this way. The things that he has done to women are horrible. I don't care what kind of an SAT score he gets. I don't care what kind of grades he gets. If he cannot function in society because he does those types of things, then he's not going to be a healthy, happy individual.
All right.
I have a daughter that's in college. I've been married for 20 years to the same man, to a great relationship, a great marriage. We
support
each other.
So you're calling up to tell me how much better you are than me. That's fine.
No, what I'm saying is it didn't matter about my daughter's SAT score. She didn't have a 4.5, and she didn't have 14.
You're missing. J. Edgar Hoover wore a dress. Hoover wore a dress, and because he wore a dress, you would not want him to be the head of the FBI.
I don't care about that if you wear a dress or if you, whatever he did. I don't care what his sexual preference is or what he does. I don't care what your sexual preference is as long as you are kind to people and kind to women.
Wearing a dress?
That means to me, sir, that you do not know what you're doing with women and you have passed this on to your son.
I can tell you've had a cocktail.
Pardon me?
You've had a cocktail this evening. You sound like
the
woman
drink.
That...
I do not drink and you...
Well, you're talking like this. You have a thought that... There's a little bit of a slur going on.
You know what, sir? You're in your mind. I don't drink. I'm a logical and a rational person who has a very big organization in San Francisco. And I think you need to look at yourself and what you're doing.
Oh, here we go. A big organization in San Francisco.
Tell me, what do you do, sir?
What is this, a lesbian deal? Because
you commented on the man before. You were a racist to him. Now you're a sexist to me.
Everybody's racist
to you guys in San
Francisco.
You know what?
Oh, you hate being called a lesbian, so you hate lesbians. Is that it?
What's your language, ma'am?
Well, she's from San Francisco. She all those lesbians talk that way. And the idea that this lady would...
Hold on for a minute. She said she didn't care?
She said the F word, and then she said she didn't care.
You heard that?
Yes, I heard it.
All right, well, don't say it like you're a kid.
Well, you're going to hang up on her?
Yes, I'll hang up on her, because she used a dirty word. But
that drunk said...
She says she doesn't drink.
She sounds just like three of the four ex-wives that I've got. They say, they're coming home. And stuff like that. And the boy would hear it on the speakerphone. And I'd always put my hands over the boy's ears. I'd say, son, she's a woman. That's the way they all talk. You have sex. That kind of stuff used to make me vomit.
All right, let's go to Nam Young. Nam Young, hello. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bob Green.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Nam Young. How are you?
Yeah, fine. How are you?
Good, man.
I just want to say to you...
Are you Chinese?
No, I am a Korean-American.
Yes,
I've
ma'am.
Been living in the United States for 27 years. And also, I travel around the world and leave many countries. I just would like to say to you...
And you leave a lot of countries, did you say, ma'am? I didn't hear you.
She's lived in a lot of countries.
Yes.
All right.
My husband was a diplomat. I have two sons. But I just like to say to you...
Yes, ma'am.
You still have a chance to teach your son, which is right and wrong. And especially, he is so smart. Please don't waste it, him.
Well, it's a good point. You know, listening to you, Nam Young,
it is nothing wrong to tell him when he do wrong. You let him know he did it wrong. Just like you know your wife was something wrong, and when your son is doing wrong, you should let him know he did the wrong thing. And also, when he do the right thing, you encourage him to do the right thing.
When I listen to you, it reminds me. Ever see that Kung Fu deal? And the guy would always say, hey, grasshopper,
Will you stop it already? The lady's making a very, very good point.
I know he did the wrong thing.
I am certified martial art instructor, too. But, you know, English is my second language. But it doesn't matter when it's a right and wrong. It doesn't matter.
Right,
There's no boundaries, you know?
You want me to let him know when he's wrong.
When he's wrong.
Of course, especially the people I love. I'm going to let them know when they do wrong things. I'm going to let them know why they did the wrong things.
You know, one of the things that I
because
find fascinating...
Because I love them.
You know the things
because
I find...
I didn't love them, I didn't
of
care.
Of course. One of the things I find fascinating when I meet Asian people is that their mouths are still moving after they stop talking. And you see that on movies...
Okay, you being a smartass?
No, sir.
Well, what does that mean?
When you meet Asian... When you see an Asian movie.
It's dubbed in English.
That's why the mouth moves even when they stop talking?
Yeah.
You know, sir, I'm proud of...
You know, I haven't kissed a woman without the stench of vodka permeating her jowls for many, many years, Sam Young. And that's why I guess I've turned my son off to women, because, frankly, they drink. And they drink heavily. Now, you sound like a responsible woman, but then you're not born of this country. You were born in a very respectful society, the Korean society. American women, they drink and they breathe clam juice all over you.
No, you're wrong, sir.
Well,
I lived in the United States 27 years.
I wasn't fortunate enough to marry a Korean woman. I should have.
I see a lot of American women are nice, too. I mean, it's just good and bad is everywhere, no matter where you go.
That red wine will make you nice for about an hour. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let me ask you something. Do you guys eat that pickled cabbage?
Oh, come on, man.
Yes, I do.
I love it.
And I love them. Yeah. I love them.
Can I ask you a question?
But would you do me a favor?
Do you guys eat dog?
Pardon me?
Nothing.
Go ahead.
Dog? Yes, yeah, some countries eat them,
okay.
But I know they're wrong.
It is wrong. It's
right?
As wrong as breathing clam juice on a man.
And you know that's wrong, but why don't you know when your son is doing wrong?
Exactly.
Especially
good point.
The one you love.
Help
more.
That boy now so that when this antisocial behavior of his, well, if you keep empowering
exactly.
him, he'll turn into like Lex Luthor or something. He'll turn into a, you know.
Like a criminal mastermind?
Yes, something like that.
Now, I'm young. You have,
yes.
You, as an Asian woman, when Asian women drink, they sing songs from South Pacific. When a white woman drinks, she's, oh, God, she's on a pool table. I wish I'd married a Korean woman when she sings, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. Oh, I'm going to wash that man, you know?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah?
You know, when you socialize with the people,
yeah.
Maybe you need to close your eyes so you can see that's Asian or Western or European or something, you know?
Well, I just find Asian women more beautiful and respectful than any other woman I've ever met. And
Thank you very much, but I tell you what.
When I say meow, do I remind you of dinner? I'm just curious.
All right.
That's Asian woman's eyes.
Uh-huh.
When I came to this country, and I look at the American woman, and they are great. You know
yeah,
why?
But they can't sit there and
they take
and go,
care of the home.
Eyes,
this is from my eyes. We are looking at the American woman, okay?
How can you look at... A lot of times you guys look like your eyes are closed, but they're not.
You have
see,
to look
the
at the good
thing.
Side, too.
Right.
You have to look at the good side. They take
exactly.
care of the home, cleaning house,
yep.
and they also go to work.
Well, they're filthy,
and
too,
come
American
home,
women.
They take care of you.
I think Korean women are intelligent, educated, and keep a hell of a house, and on top of everything else... After an intimate evening with cocktails and beautiful romance, they can go, Valley High is calling, you know. So to me, why didn't I marry a Korean woman? It'll forever be the bane of my existence. But I thank you for calling.
Well,
I want to go and
point.
Just be alone with my thoughts. I've got a cigar. I got a Cuban cigar I want to smoke. Nah, I can't take it anymore.
You want your son to be success, and I think you got the wonderful son. Oh, please, please. You know,
Ryan,
try to teach him.
DVD.
All right, listen, Nam Young, thank you.
Thank you. I hope he got the message.
I think he did, and you were very kind in giving it. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Green? Mr. Green, are you there, sir?
Yeah, right here. Ryan, where's the DVD for South Pacific? Hello?
Get out of here.
Oh, Valley High.
Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686.
I like how you lock out all your bits with get out of here. It's a real punchline, isn't it?
Oh, well, get a load of you. What, the theater critic?
I'm doing a cover story for the LA Weekly.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Just taking a look at the news now here in the Phil Henry Show. Oh, by the way, our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Pick up some shot glasses for St. Patty's Day in our souvenir shop or pick up our Best Of CD. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids, when you buy our CD, The Death of Talk Radio, the Best Of Phil 2003 CD. Or you can call 877-616-7445 to order on the phone. Just looking at the news, as I mentioned earlier in the show, a former journalist and one-time press secretary has been arrested and charged with... she served as a paid agent for the Iraqi intelligence service. She said to reporters as she was being led out to the car, "I did more to stop terrorism in this country than anybody else." I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But she had contacts with the Iraqi mission in New York. She did willingly accept money from the Iraqi mission and brought it back into the United States. Now, having said what she said, it seems pretty clear that this woman, she may be a spy, she could be a misguided imbecile, she could be a lot of things, but she said if there's anybody with any brains in the press, she said it, working with the Iraqis, she was trying to stop terrorism. Does that mean anything to anybody who said that there was no connection between Al-Qaeda and the United States? Or do you still want to sing that song? Or the, between Al-Qaeda and Iraq? Or do you still want to sing that old song? And having made that Freudian slip, I'm sure people are out there now going, rubbing their finger and saying, "See, Al-Qaeda in the U.S., that's the real connection." Freudian slip, Freudian slip. On tape, Princess Diana has described confronting the other woman. Princess Diana chose the birthday party of Camilla Barker Poles to walk up to that horse-faced nag and say, "I want you to stop seeing my husband." She did. It was a birthday party, actually, for Camilla Parker Bowles' sister. Diana went up to Camilla at this party, and she said, "I know what's going on between you and Charles, and I just want you to know that I know." And Camilla's response was, "You've got everything you ever wanted. You've got all the men in the world to fall in love with you, and you've got two beautiful children. What more do you want?" And she replied very sensibly, "I want my husband, you ugly cow." "And I said to Camilla," Diana continues on this tape, "I'm sorry I'm in the way. It must be hell for both of you, but I do know what's going on. Don't treat me like an idiot." Excerpts of this tape were aired on the Today Show on NBC. The tapes were a basis for a book called Diana, Her True Story, which was published in 1992. In 94, Prince Charles acknowledged in a TV documentary that he'd strayed from his marriage vows, but insisted the infidelity happened only after the marriage was irretrievably broken down, us both having tried. Boy, that poor little Princess Diana, huh? That freak, Prince Charles, and that bag of... What is she? Who is she? A duchess, or is she a duke? Is she a man? I think it's a man. Hey, see, there you go. And I bet I know what was wrong with that marriage. You can tell a blind man can spot it a mile away. She was a very prim and proper young lady, and she probably wasn't the sex toy that he wanted her to be. A blind man can spot it a mile away. I guarantee you that was what was wrong. So we got a hold of Horseface here and probably had himself a real good time. Oh, my God. I mean, look, I don't mean to be cruel. I don't know how to put this in any other way. But often men, just like women, choose someone who is erotic over whether they're particularly appealing looking. There's an old saying in the male school, you know, fat girls are like mopeds. They're fun to ride, but you don't want to be seen on one. And that's a horrible thing to say. It's a horrible thing to say. But I didn't say it. I read it in Playboy. Now, another thing, I just feel very bad for this Princess Diana. And then in the bitter end, she loses her life in France. Oh, my God. What did she do to deserve that life other than be born? And let's see what else we had. Oh, then, of course, I wanted to mention to you guys this EPA suit. Did you hear that some of the people whose relatives died in the World Trade Center and also other people who work in downtown New York are suing the EPA? Why? Because the air quality hasn't been the same since 9/11. Now, I'm stunned at things like this, and I know it probably makes plenty of sense to a lot of people. It's going to take another terrorist attack to smack some sense into us. I thought maybe 9/11 was enough, but it isn't. It's not. It's not enough. We're going along as if it's still like 1995. We're going along as if it's still 1989. We're just suing the government for all of the problems we have. We're just moving along, man, like nothing happened. the air quality in New York is bad because of 9/11. They're suing the APA. Whatever happened to that suit against Saudi Arabia? Why don't you sue Osama bin Laden? I think he might have had something to do with that bad air quality. Or am I talking like a fascist? Is that it? You know what? I hate to say it. Maybe even another terrorist attack won't do it. I don't think people are gonna. I don't think people are gonna face the reality of a society, a country in real jeopardy until the ragheads are right here in the middle of us, man. Telling us to bow to the east or the west or whatever the hell it is five times a day. I swear to God, they could fly up 16 more planes in the buildings and we ain't going to get the message, man. Okay, fine. Well, they just said it's 90% complete. Their plans for another big one. After they do it, remember to sue the government. PHS@PhilHenryShow.com is our email address. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.